Obama about, well, during the campaign, had even entered into discussions with Arab leaders secretly that he would give them Israel on a platter if they would just make it possible for him to get out of Afghanistan. Well, let's move on. Obama's embrace of Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan threatens both Israel and the Palestinian Authority. The volatile Turkish leader was supposed to have been a key U.S. partner in a new world order. Obama reached out to him repeatedly, but Erdogan has a different agenda. He sees an opportunity to become the Mideast regional hegemon, as well as Russia's strategic partner in oil and gas transmission. And to succeed, he wants to rally the region's extremists to his neo-Ottoman cause. Remember the Ottoman Empire? Erdogan said of Turkey's erstwhile ally Israel, accusing the Jewish state of piracy and war crimes, that he vowed that Kurdish rebels would seek autonomy from Turkey and would drown in their own blood. Now this is the kind of man we're dealing with over there, who wants to scream at Israel because they stopped his ship full of activists to try to stir up worldwide angst against Israel. 9 of them were killed, but here's a man that has vowed to drown the Kurds in their own blood. Where was the outcry of the United Nations? Where was the outcry of Obama? Where was the outcry of any of the nations of the earth against Erdogan in his war against the Kurds? And he has just declared that he's going to raise up an army of 500,000 Turks to wipe out the Kurdish people. Is that genocide? And yet we whine and scream about Israel protecting itself from a ship that Turkey intentionally set on course to Gaza to stir up the world against Israel. This is what's happening, friends. Turkey's public embrace of Hamas, which the European Union and the United States consider a terrorist organization, has undercut traditional U.S. allies such as Egypt and Saudi Arabia. The biggest loser might be the Palestinian Authority and its leader, Mahmoud Abbas. Abbas was cut off at the knees when Obama buckled to Turkish demands over Gaza. The White House declared after the flotilla debacle that Israel's blockade of Gaza was unsustainable and must be changed, and announced a $400 million gift aid package to Gaza that would help resuscitate Hamas that is seeking to destroy Israel. Abbas begged Obama not to lift the Gaza blockade, but Obama has his own goals and intentions, as does Erdogan of Turkey. And what's happening, we don't have time to go into the fullness of this, I wish we did, but what's really happening is now these powers are each jockeying for position, realizing that Barack Obama is all confused, has a love affair with the Muslim world, can't tell the truth, doesn't have a foreign policy, and even his own chief of staff is distancing himself from him now. What's going on? Are we now in the weakest position ever? Apparently so. Because we have been described as being under the leadership of a man just like Jimmy Carter. Weak. Perceived by the world now with disdain and contempt. Where's it going to lead? Well, one thing we know, biblical prophecy will be fulfilled because God has spoken. The question is what you and I are going to do about our own lives. The other things will happen. So prepare the way of the Lord, my friends. Get straight with God. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23278.
rain and a lot of lightning. And if the lights go out, you're going to lose me.
Hello there.
Can you hear me? Stan? Hello?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. John, are you there? I think we've lost our guest, so I'm going to just put the music on for a moment and get him back on the line here. This is Dr. Stan here, and I guess this evening is John Christian Ryder, who's, of course, an investigative reporter for the Washington Times and for Human Events, and he does a great deal. He's right on the cutting edge of so much what's going on tonight. John, thanks very much for being with us.
I enjoy coming on your show. Don't do it often, but I enjoy being here when I get there.
Well, you've, of course, been looking into what's going on down there in the Gulf, and we get so many conflicting reports. I mean, we've been hearing, oh, we're not going to get around to getting this sealed off until, you know, the end of August, and now they're saying, well, we'll have everything under control maybe by Monday. But we get so many conflicting reports, it's so hard to tell what's going on. So I want your uptake on this, because certainly you've been looking into this. Go right ahead.
If you had been talking with the Russians, what the Russians will tell you is going on in the Gulf is a super well. In fact, BP drilled a super well there and sealed it in February. A super well is a well that goes through the crust of the earth. And Soviets have been drilling super wells since the mid-60s. And what happens when you drill a super well, you're actually puncturing the crust of the earth and you're going down into the mantle where oil is actually manufactured. And the super well there is so much pressure from the center of the earth that when you try to cap them, which the well in the Gulf that BP had, they actually struck oil on the 17th, capped the well, and sealed it with concrete. On the 19th, all of this was done. So the well, they were getting ready to shut down the platform and move off to drill another well. On the 20th, there was a loud explosion, and something hit the platform and shook it. 3 minutes later, there was a second explosion, and this was methane gas. And that's what ignited the platform and blew it. Now, when you watch the initial news reports and they showed the oil leak, what they weren't showing anyone was that there was a fissure breaking. The fissure is now 20 meters long. And in this break that goes down into the core of the earth, there are methane gas bubbles coming up, or blowouts, I guess, or a better way, naphtha gas blowouts, and additional oil. And this is why when they first talked, and they were talking about this minimum amount of oil that was being lost, and all of a sudden it's up to now to where there's 2.5 million barrels of oil a day that is leaking. In addition to that, there is an enormous amount of methane gas, naphtha.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, John, go right ahead.
Okay. What happens is we have created a monster, and the monster that we've created is a well that can't be stopped. When you drill a super well, and what they were doing is, as they were drilling through the mantra of the earth to get to the oil, is they are pumping a mud with a chemical mixture. What they're trying to do as they drill out the granites, that actually I guess it was molten lava, hard lava, is what they were drilling through to get to this oil. As they're drilling this out, they're replacing the same density of a chemical-fied mud. And what they're trying to do is to keep the pressure exactly the same, and as long as they keep that stable, they can continue to drill and then hit the oil, cap the well, and move on to something else. But something went wrong, and as when they stopped putting in the chemical mud, the pressure changed, and when the pressure changed, it blew. It can't be stopped. You can pump all the mud you want. And this is, like everybody else who was watching, I couldn't understand when you have this borehole, and all they're doing is they're pumping mud in it. And I, for the life of me, until I really started to study it, I couldn't figure out why they were pumping mud into this hole rather than something that would actually fill it, like concrete or anything else. And the reason was because this is how they equalized the pressure as they were drilling. And apparently the best minds at that time felt that if they could continue putting the mud, the chemicalized mud, into the hole, that it was going to equalize the pressure and the leak would stop. But as they're trying to fill this borehole, the fissure starts and new leaks are starting. And those leaks, the fissure is now 20 meters long. So what we have is an absolute nightmare. And the nightmare is not just the oil. The nightmare is also the gas that is escaping from the core of the earth. And this gas has the potential to be very lethal once it gets into the air. And particularly when you get, we're right in the middle of hurricane.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with John Gristin Reiter. Well, this is Dr. Stan. What John is just simply saying is that this is a super deep well. They actually drill through the mantle of the earth down into the area very, very deep where oil is actually created. And, of course, they were doing all right. They were putting in this chemical mud, which was keeping the oil and the gas down. But then they've developed a large fissure, about a 20-foot fissure, from which, of course, both oil and this gas are escaping. And this is independent from the well. And, of course, the problem with this is the fact that it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to seal that fissure off. So with that as the background, you go right ahead, John.
Okay, the fissure is actually 20 meters. So we're looking at something that's about 16 miles long. So we've got a really serious problem here. Now, the Russians tried when it first came. The first thing that happened, as most people know today, when the leak started, the Netherlands offered to send over four ships that are designed to clean up these oil spills. BP declined them. The United States government declined them. And I found it interesting that Obama declined them. And the reason they declined them is that when BP started drilling this well, they had to submit detailed plans of what they were going to do in this, and those plans had to be approved. So the United States government knew they were drilling a super well. Like I said, this is the second one that particular Deepwater Horizon platform has drilled within the last 18 months in the Gulf. So everybody thought it was safe. This one wasn't, and it wasn't because the pressure in the earth, they couldn't maintain it, and this caused an eruption. Now, the Soviets and Pravda reported it first. Pravda reported that this was a super well that had gone awry. The Moscow Times picked up Pravda's story. That news story has not appeared anywhere in the United States of America. Now, what we have, Russia has had six times. Russia solved it five times. Of the wells that the super wells that Russia drilled that had this type of explosion, all of them were on land. This one, unfortunately, is underwater. With the five wells that the Soviets had, they actually sealed four of them. One well, which was a gas well, they couldn't seal.
Now, but how did they seal them is the question.
There's the fly in the ointment for the Obama administration. First thing is they can't let people know what kind of a leak this is. What the Russians did, and it took them 3 years of trying different things, with the first well, which was an oil well. They tried everything imaginable. And then finally one of their scientists said, look, the only way that we're going to stop this, we're going to drill a parallel shaft. And you've heard BP talk about drilling this parallel shaft. So they drilled the parallel shaft. Then they inserted a 1.5 kiloton atomic bomb into the shaft and exploded it. 20 seconds later, the well stopped, the leak stopped. What they did, the thermal heat of the nuclear weapon melted the mantle of the earth and sealed it. I've seen drawings of the Russian well, and they said it was a combination of shock wave and thermal heat. But what it did, it shifted the earth and closed the well and then sealed it. The last well that they tried that on was in the late 1970s, and it was a gas well. And that one, when they drilled the parallel shaft and inserted the bomb, nothing happened. It didn't work. And I spent probably 3 weeks digging on the internet trying to find some record of what happened at that site. And there's nothing. An absolute news. Any data about it has been erased. It just doesn't exist.
Well, now, were these wells there in Russia, were they burning, or were they just putting out the oil or gas?
The two of the wells were oil wells. Three of the wells were natural gas wells. And so of the five, two gas wells and two oil wells were sealed by using a nuclear bomb. The fifth one was burning 1 million cubic feet of natural gas a day. That well burned for something like 12 years, as near as I could figure. I would say that it just burned out. Or it's still burning. I don't know. I absolutely could not find anything on the status of that well. what the Russians suggested to Obama was that they drill a parallel shaft and insert a low-yield, low-radiation nuclear bomb and seal it. Obama has chosen not to do that. there is a Department of Defense whistleblower from back in the 80s that advanced the theory that they could solve the problem by using one of these belly buster bombs that they're using in Afghanistan. And he has been going around drumming up support to use the bomb he wants to use is the Air Force's GBU-43B. It's a massive ordnance air blast bomb. They call it MOAB, M-O-A-B. The scientist that's trying to get them to do this is a guy named France Gale. And it's a non-nuclear weapon, and he figures that the shock wave will relocate the Earth. I got the bad feeling that if they use that, if you look at what's happening under the water that nobody's talking about, and the reason that there is so much oil coming up now, and the reason for the methane and the naphtha gas is because of this fissure, which is still apparently spreading. And it's spreading because of the pressure in the core of the Earth. So it's just cracking. It's just cracking open underneath. It's in the Mississippi fault. So apparently from the Mississippi River down under the Gulf of Mexico, and I don't know what country it ends up in. I tried to find that on maps to see where that fault line runs, but I couldn't find it. But it's called the Mississippi Fault. And the well was drilled on that fault line, which by itself is bad, because if there's going to be a problem, the problem is going to follow the fault line, which apparently it is doing. I've got a bad feeling that if they were to use the MOAB bomb is a GPS-guided bomb, and it's used when they, if you recall, when during the Bush years, they were showing how this, they use this GPS-guided bomb, and it'll come down and it'll actually go right through the door into a building and blow up what's inside. That's how accurate this bomb is. The question that's in my mind is the Gulf at the point where this well was drilled is 5,000 feet deep. And if you recall the dialogue from the news media when they were talking about when they first tried the first attempt to seal this by inserting this pipeline down and then they were going to fill it with concrete. And if you recall, it froze. The water was so cold that ice formed inside of it and they couldn't do it. Which basically means there's no light. Okay, if you have a GPS-guided anything, the GPS signal has to be able to reach that object that you're, in this case a bomb, that you're trying to insert into this parallel hole and explode. You've got to be able to control it. Once you get down that deep in the water, will a GPS signal still reach that bomb? Or is that bomb just going to be in a free fall and it's going to drop and explode wherever it's at? Or is it going to explode?
Hold that thought for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having some problems with our telephone. So if you have a question, you can certainly send us a fax. The number is 831-464-8427. 831-464-8427. So for this evening, probably until Monday when we have our phones back on, you can reach us by fax, 831-464-8427. And our guest, of course, is John Kristen Ryder, discussing what's really going on. Go right ahead, John.
Okay. What the Soviets, and I keep referring to the Russians as Soviets, and I do that for a reason. The reason...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, they're going to be able to control this. And the problem is not necessarily going to be primarily the oil. It's going to be the gases that are going to be coming up. And he mentioned that pregnant women have been suggested to move away from the coast there. But apparently the Russians are suggesting, and they've certainly had experience with these types of wells before, and they've had some disasters. They've been able to take care of four of the five of the wells that got out of control. And these are the specially deep wells. But the question is, you know, are they going to be able to control this? Certainly the Russians don't think we're going to be able to control it unless we use nuclear weapons. President Obama has apparently decided against that. And so John is saying that the real problem that's going to be there is the toxic gases coming up. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, the needless to say, the oil is going to be environmentally destructive to the Gulf of Mexico probably for the next 100 years. Because the only thing that's going to happen as pressure continues to build, if they can figure out some way to equalize the pressure along that fissure, then they're going to slow down the amount of oil that comes out there. I don't think it's going to stop. It's not going to stop until something, an act of God, a nuclear weapon. I don't think the Moab bomb will do it. I think the Moab bomb will make it worse. But this is a problem, and it's going to be a problem. It is going to continue to be a problem for the Obama administration simply because regardless what he does, he loses. If he uses a nuclear device and seals it, everybody's going to be happy for a minute. And then all of a sudden, everybody's going to start talking the fact that Barack Hussein Obama detonated a nuclear bomb 43 miles from the Louisiana coastline. It's a no-win situation for him. If he does nothing, it's going to reach the point where he can no longer blame this on British Petroleum. Because this was a super well. His administration allowed it to be drilled. So his administration is responsible for the fact that this happened. Because there should have been geologist reports looking at the location where they were going to do this drill. And somebody should have said, you know, this is right on a fault line. Is it wise to be drilling right here? Can't we move this 100 miles over here, 100 miles over here?
Well, it would seem even more logical that if you're going to put in one of these super deep wells, and there has been real problems with them in the past, that you would have done this on dry land rather than offshore.
The only problem that you have in the United States, thanks to the oil companies themselves, who financed the environmentalist movement when it first started, deliberately to close down every well in the United States to maintain the monopoly of the Seven Sisters. You can't drill those deep wells in the United States.
I would like to reiterate what you just said. For our listeners out there, most people don't understand where this environmental movement came from. It came from the oil companies themselves. Why? Why it was to destroy competition so that there could not have competitors actually drilling wells here in the United States. So the oil companies created this whole monster that now, of course, is restricting them and But if you have a question at all for John, our fax number, the only way you're going to be able to reach us until Monday is by fax, and that is at 831-464-8427, 831-464-8427. If you have a question, you can always fax it in. We'll get John to take care of that. But what we're really doing and looking at is apparently one of the greatest ecological problems we've ever had. Why would you build drill, not a regular oil well. Certainly, regular oil wells work pretty well. But this is a super well, and you're going very, very deep. And we know that the Russians have had problems with them. They'd put in one, and they'd gotten away with it. It worked all right. It's sealed off, not functioning, but it's there and can be unsealed at any time. But the real question is, of course, what's going to happen now as far as this super well? Oh, that is a blowout, and apparently there's a fissure going right along with that. We're not hearing about that. We'll be back in just a moment with John Christian Reiter. Okay, go right ahead, John.
Okay. When you were talking, we need to look really at this, the issue about the control of a handful of oil barons over the delivery of oil worldwide. And most people, I don't think, have ever taken the time to study the history of the oil industry. It's an interesting study. But that aside for a moment, you raised the question, why don't we just drill somewhere on dry land in the United States or in Alaska? Do you know when oil was discovered in the North Slope of Alaska? The people who owned the land sold oil leases to the major oil companies. And they went up and they bought these leases. And most of them were purchased by the Seven Sisters. Seven Sisters are actually the 10 largest oil companies in the world. They're called the Seven Sisters because when Standard Oil was broken up in 1911, the judge who broke the company up gave control of all seven parts that they broke up back to the Rockefeller family, which owned Standard Oil. Then there was a breakup that added the seven expanded into 10 by the time they got through. So there was actually 10 companies, even though they're still referred to as the Seven Sisters. These companies purchased all the oil leases and then did nothing with them. The oil that was drilled and which created the pipeline, most of that, some of the oil was drilled by Exxon, Chevron, BP, but a lot of it was by independent oil companies and that fed the oil through the pipeline to the refineries.
Well, one of them was Atlantic Richfield, I remember.
Right, which is one of the Seven Sisters. So when you look at that, but what they did, they bought the leases and never used them.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with John. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly John was talking about the oil industry and referring to the Seven Sisters, saying there are really 10 major oil companies. Seven Sisters is simply a phrase that's used, but there's an oil monopoly, there's an oil cartel, and certainly many of these major companies have bought up tremendous numbers of oil leases off the North Slope of Alaska and never developed. There's plenty of oil up there, but they bought them up not to use them, but to not to use them. And so basically, this is so hard for people to believe that the major oil companies would have created the environmental movement, but basically what did it do? Why, it shut down nuclear energy. They did not want the competition. This was all about preventing competition and keeping certainly oil production with the hands of this cartel. And of course, it's not the OPEC cartel that makes the decisions. It's the big oil cartel made of primarily the United States, I think Netherlands or Great Britain, and they tell the oil cartel what to do. The cartels are dishonest, but these people are above the law. Before we go on at this point, John, do you have a website or any place people could go to get your material?
Yes, the website is www.john, J-O-N. You got to just resist putting that H in there. J-O-N, Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, writer, R-Y, T as in Tom, E-R.com.
And you'll see some of his articles up at newswithjews.com. He writes articles there, but you'll find many more at his own website. All right, so you go right ahead with the story.
Okay, when you look at what they were doing, the idea is the oil that they wanted to drill is Mideast oil. The reason they wanted Mideast oil was because it is the cheapest oil to reach. The structure of the subsurface of the earth, apparently, it's much more economical to drill in the Mideast than it is anywhere else in the world. So that oil is very, very cheap to reach. The Seven Sisters have always maintained, and this has been a Rockefeller point of view since the mid-1880s, in fact, earlier than that, but it became the stated fact in the 1980s, or 1880s, excuse me. The view is that oil is a fossil fuel, and you've heard that. And if you're my age or Dr. Stan's age, you've driven down highways and you used to see Sinclair gas stations along the highway. And the interesting thing about the Sinclair sign is that there was a dinosaur on it. And the reason for that was because the oil industry maintained that oil was actually the residue from dinosaurs and prehistoric fauna.
Well, you know, that's what I learned in college, Chris. Most of what I learned in college wasn't true, but that basically they want us to believe, oh, it's the dinosaurs, we're running out of dinosaurs. Obviously, we're running out of oil. It's a fossil fuel. And the truth of the matter, they've known it isn't a fossil fuel, but they've been able to deceive an entire world about the real origin of oil. You go right ahead.
And the reason to create the illusion was they knew where they had to go to get the oil. Super deep wells. And they knew to make those wells profitable, they had to get oil over $100 a barrel. And then it reached the point where they said, okay, to be profitable, we actually need to get oil at $200 a barrel. The reason for that, and I was stumbling around on the internet one day, somebody sent me a link to an IPO that was being formed in China. And the IPO was between Standard Oil and, in this case, ExxonMobil and China Oil. Where they were going to drill was in the Mariana Trench.
You're going to have to explain to our listeners where the Mariana Trench is.
Okay, the Mariana Trench sits 6,000 miles from the United States in the middle of three-fourths way across the Pacific Ocean, about 1,000 miles from China. So it's 1,000 miles from China, 6,000 miles from the United States. The Mariana Trench is the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean. The Mariana Trench itself is 7 miles deep. And then you've got, from the 7 mile point, then you need to drill. But along the Mariana Atolls down through the Hawaiian island chains, there is a ridge. And along this ridge, they have discovered more oil than every oil deposit in the world, every known reserve. This dwarfs them.
And yet, of course, they keep telling us we're running out of oil, peak
right.
oil. You know, it's not like global warming.
Okay.
You repeat it often enough, everybody believes it, but there's plenty of oil there. Go ahead.
Now, about five years ago, one of the articles that I wrote was a discussion on peak oil versus deep oil. As I started to discover about deep oil, I started writing about it on my website. And the deep oil people were basically, the first ones were the Soviets. The Soviets had been drilling deep wells since the mid-1960s. They have sunk to date 310 deep wells. And Russia, most people don't realize right now, Russia is the world's largest producer of oil.
And natural gas as well. And the average American.
Right. They basically, if they wanted, could control the price of oil worldwide. Why they're sitting back on their haunches, I don't know. It's going to be political, and I guess they're waiting until the right crisis comes along, and the Soviet Union will rise again. But when you look at that, here's where according to the reports that I was reading, there is enough oil along the Mariana Trench to service the world for 1,000 years. There's enough oil in the north slope of Alaska, not the entire state of Alaska, but just in Anwar. Just in Anwar alone to supply every need in the United States of America for 300 years.
And that's why they won't let us drill there. And people don't understand, they don't want the oil out. They want to keep the price. If there's so much oil, the price would be dirt cheap if we were really developing our oil resources.
Yeah. Now, what I want your audience to think about is almost every single oil well drilled by the Seven Sisters and their affiliate partnerships. In other words, when you look at the oil companies in the Muslim world, most people don't realize most of these are 50% owned by the Seven Sisters. China Oil has partnered with Exxon. Lukoil in Russia has partnered with Chevron. Seven Sisters. Lukoil is drilling more super wells. In fact, the Russians just drilled 3 super wells in Vietnam. So what we're doing is we're cracking the crust of the earth. I had a reader write me an email a couple weeks ago and raised the connection. This person had been reading my articles on deep wells and started doing their own research on where the deep wells were taking place and then trying to track where earthquakes were happening. And in this individual's mind, and I looked at the material that this gentleman sent, and he raised an interesting question, but you would have to be a scientist to answer it. And the question that he was raising is there a connection between the drilling of super wells and the increased frequency of earthquakes? Because as you drill these wells, you're breaking through the crust of the earth, and you are going down into the bowels of the earth where oil is manufactured. And oil is manufactured. And the Seven Sisters have known this at least since 1960, because the minute that the Russians brought in the first super well, the Russians, by the way, are drilling these wells even in the Arctic, they are drilling these wells where their wells are sitting on ice, and you're drilling through the ice into the Arctic Ocean and drilling down and then drilling into the earth from there. So these super wells are becoming the gold mine of the oil industry. Now, the really interesting thing about the oil under the Mariana Trench, if you guys recall, 2007, George W. Bush declared the Mariana Trenches and then part of the Hawaiian Atoll to be a U.S. national monument.
This is a trench that's down 7 miles in the ocean and is a U.S. monument?
Okay, but even more important, this U.S. monument. Now keep in mind that this includes American Samoa, which is an American, I don't know the term they use for it, but it's...
It's a protectorate of some
sort.
Yeah,
it's an American protectorate. So it's, I guess you're looking at that and you're making this reach, but there's 345,000 square miles of the Pacific Ocean. And believe me, the American Samoa doesn't take up that space. This is now a United States monument. I mean, it's protected under the law of the seas. This is now protected. No one can drill. Deliberately protect the same way that ANWR to protect the caribou. They made a national monument out of the North Slope of Alaska to prevent, specifically to prevent anyone from drilling oil.
And I think it's so important for our listeners to know that, realize that there's so much oil out there that if they allowed its development, the price would drop dramatically. And why would anybody want to stop that? Well, the oil companies would want to stop it. They make a lot more money with oil at $70 or $75 a barrel than they do at $10 a barrel. That's why they finance the environmental movement. And there's now one American in 1,000 knows, and you're sure not going to get this from Rush Limbaugh, but go ahead.
Yeah, because when you look at this, what you see is the environmentalists bad-mouthing the oil companies. The oil companies are the enemy, which is really interesting because the biggest checks that they get, aside from the checks, by the way, that the Sierra Club and all of the other environmental groups get from you, the taxpayer. The grants that these organizations get from the United States government equal what they get from the foundations, the oil company foundations. And they do it specifically. If you look at the United States back a few years back, if you recall, one of the things that Bush did or attempted to do, when Bush was elected, the first thing that he was attacked by, I forget which environmental group it was that filed suit against him, because Bush was going to, Bush threatened to take a closed Navy base in California, convert it into an oil refinery that could be used by independent oil drillers. And of course, that got killed quickly. You've got to stop and look at what the environmentalists did to the oil industry. They attacked not only the drillers, they also attacked the refineries. Every independent refinery in the United States of America was closed, most of them during the Clinton years. So the only oil refineries that exist in the United States today are owned by the major oil companies.
Isn't that convenient? I wonder why. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Okay. When you look at a glut of oil, And there is a glut of oil right now. When the price of oil, if you recall a couple of years ago, the price of oil went up almost to $150 a barrel. And all of a sudden there was this demand to increase oil production. So we went to the Saudis and they said, okay. And they started putting out more oil. And they put the oil on tankers. And they sent the tankers to the United States. Those tankers are still loaded with oil, still sitting off the coast of the United States, because the refineries' reserve tanks are full. There's no place to put the oil. There is a glut of oil. There is so much oil they can't refine it. So what does the oil company do? The oil company blames the state legislatures, which probably a lot of it's their fault, because apparently in the state of California where you're at, there are five different mixes of gas with ethanol, different percentages in different parts of the state. So it's not like you have gas with no ethanol in it, or gas with 2% ethanol in it, or gas with 5%. In the state of California, you have a Duke's mixture. And as one of the large refineries mentioned, that when you go into production, you're producing gasoline with ethanol in a certain percentage for this part of the state, gas with the ethanol in a different percentage here and here and here.
Hold that. Our guest has been John Christian Ryder. We'll be back in a minute. Remember, you can fax us and just... John, you've got 3 minutes to go right ahead.
Okay. We need to fix the problem. We are not going to fix the problem.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know, because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
1-800-831-464-8427. But John is making one of the most important points, and that is the fact that the reason that big corporations like to have certainly the big government is so that they can destroy their competition. They can use government to simply destroy competition and to funnel money to them. And there's all sorts of means by which the big corporations get money from government, whether it be the oil companies, whether it be the banks. And what we have to do is starve big government, cut back on their ability to give out money to favor one group over another, and that's what it's all about. Use government so that you will not have competition. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. To understand the spiritual component of what's going on, let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness. It will give you insight into what's really going on. Certainly, if you haven't seen the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. There are three DVDs. You can get them separately. They're very professionally done. Some of them are 2 hours, 2.5, 2¾ hours long. But exciting information you will never get elsewhere. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning Trilogy, The Secret Mystery, Riddles in Stone, and, of course, The Eye of the Phoenix. Then, of course, from the understand the prophetic significance of what's going on today, the DVD, 10 DVD series, you can get a part one and part two called The Final Countdown, Pastor Billy Crone's Sunday expose of what's going on today. And he's written a book, and you may want to get the book as well, because it has all of the biblical passages you would want to have at your fingertips when you're talking about what is going on today. It is the most incredible thing in the world, and once you have actually read the plan, it becomes so very obvious. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we are obviously moving into very, very difficult times. Then, of course, we suggest for insights into what's going on, we have a DVD. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And there's a 3-hour, a 4-hour, a 10-hour version of that. And when you've watched that, it's one of the finest DVDs ever made. Why you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. That's the They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour version, the 4-hour version, the 10-hour version. People say, 10-hour version? I will tell you, you will be entranced as you sit there and watch it, and you will, as I say, you'll never look at the world through quite the same eyes again. Now, this is the time I really should mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, well, I would love to hear from you. We do have almost 60 outlets every week on one of our various networks, and if you can help us, well, I would certainly appreciate it. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Now, what can you do at this time? Well, certainly you can become informed. And the most important thing you can do is to understand what's really going on. Read my newsletters. Let me suggest the April 2010 newsletter. It's called The Secret Cabal, Part 1. And Part 2 is posted there. Read the two of them. And, of course, then check the references. Is it really true that there is a secret cabal made up of people, the great financiers and the great oil companies? And yes, you, ladies and gentlemen, you can actually get their membership list. They publish it. Of course, you have to email them, but they'll send it to you. Or you can get my syllabus called The Membership List of the Brotherhood of Darkness. There really is a Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the book. And then you need to get other people listening to our program, studying, and understanding that certainly everything they've worked for, their life savings, their pensions, their insurance policies, all are tied to the dollar, and there's a very definite program to destroy the value of our currency and to devalue it, whether it'll go down a third or two-thirds, I can't tell you. But most people are going to be impoverished. before this is over. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this evening is a John Christian writer who's an investigative reporter and has just amazing information, information you're not going to get elsewhere. And many of the things he said during the first hour, I've known, we've been trying to get the message out, but he's put it out very clearly and very concisely. Now, unfortunately, we are having telephone problems. Hopefully, we'll be up back to our regular program by Monday, but just a week ago, our telephone service went out. We had to buy another very expensive telephone unit. Hopefully it'll be installed by Monday. So we'll be back and we'll be able to take your calls. But if you do have a question for John, our telephone number is, our fax number is 831. That's 831-464-8427. 831-464-8427. But, of course, the significant things that John had brought out, certainly over and above, of course, the tragedy that's unfolding down in the Gulf, and that there are many people who think that this will be a permanent environmental catastrophe. The important things, of course, is that it was the oil companies that have actually financed the environmental movement, which attacks the oil companies. Well, of course, they can attack them, but they're getting their checks from them. And it's all a game they play for the public, so the public really won't understand what's going on. And, of course, the purpose of big government, the reason that great corporations support big government is because they can use big government to destroy their competition. And this is what's really going on. And, of course, the banks have been getting phenomenal amounts of money from the Obama administration. Certainly, we gave something like $185 billion to AIG, American Investment Group. And then, of course, they start doling the money out to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup. And all of these, about $65 billion of that $185 billion went to the big banks. And, of course, we should have let AIG just go bankrupt, and they wouldn't have gotten anything. Instead, we gave them the money. And instead of, you know, bargaining to pay half 50 cents on the dollar, why, they gave the money to their friends, and these people are all in bed together. And suddenly, the people were in the Obama administration, people, you know, are all tied into the big banks, since people like Larry Summers and Timothy Geithner. It's all in the family. Well, you pick up the story, John.
It's all in the family, even to a larger scale than that. The financial crisis that we were told that if we didn't take and put out this $785 billion bailout, which was one of the three bailouts, that the economy was going to collapse, the dollar was going to collapse, everything was going to, catastrophe was going to strike. And this was basically what the leadership in Congress was using against the congressmen themselves. And of course, congressmen think you're getting this information and it's true. The financial crisis that we bailed out was not a financial crisis in the United States. Granted, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the subprime mortgage debacle that collapsed the building industry and the housing industry. Okay, this was a major problem. That problem was actually solved, even though the money that was set aside to buy up mortgages and what was supposed to happen with the subprime and the subprime credit card business is the money that the Bush people voted for. This money was supposed to go into a pool to be used by the Resolution Trust Company to purchase the foreclosed mortgages from the banks. The reason for doing that was to reestablish...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, John, you were just saying the money from the Resource Trust Company was to be used for what now?
Okay, it was to buy up all of the subprime mortgages, so to free up the Fed ratio. In other words, banks have to have a reserve set aside that they can't touch. And what they do, they can loan money on the assets that they have. Needless to say, if you have a foreclosed mortgage, it's now a liability, it's not an asset. This was the problem that created the shortage of money that was available to be loaned to the American people. The Bush plan was to buy up those foreclosed mortgages and defaulted credit card debts by the Resolution Trust Company.
Now, was that you speak now basically of the TARP money that was supposed to be used for that?
Correct.
Right, okay. That's the Troubled Asset Relief Program.
Correct.
And the money was supposed to be used to save Main Street, not Wall Street. I remember Henry Paulson going onto the television and looking into the camera and saying, this money is not for Wall Street. It's for Main Street. It's to help the people,
correct,
the common people, not the big banks. And that's, of course, he himself was a big banker. But he said, you know, those big banks, terrible big banks, we're not going to give them the money. We're going to give it. It's for Main Street.
Right. Had they used that money, there would have been no financial crisis, no major job layoffs anywhere in the United States of America. Business would have continued as usual because credit would have flowed as usual. So, but you got to understand it was a really good sleight of hand because nobody caught it. The banks that were in trouble weren't American banks. It was the banks in Indonesia, in India, in Pakistan, Afghanistan, South Africa, and the places where our jobs were being sent. The deal was, we bring the jobs in, the countries where we bring these jobs in had an obligation to upgrade their infrastructures to the 20th century, or I guess in this case, 21st century. Okay, so the banks in those countries...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney John is basically talking about why this crisis really occurred and said that, you know, the original $787 billion that was in the TARP funds, that's a Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, it was supposed to be used, of course, to buy up the faulty mortgages in this country, the collateralized debt obligations, to refinance the banks that way, and then everything would be all right. But this was not what happened. Certainly, Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, former the President or CEO of Goldman Sachs, had promised the American people the money would be used for Main Street, not for Wall Street. When he got his greedy little fingers on the money, he used it to bail out the banks in other countries. And certainly the money was supposed to be used to loan here in America. Instead, it was lent in China and in India and in Spain and Dubai. It was lent to countries all over the world. It was not lent here in America. And the average American has no idea what's really happened. Go right ahead.
Okay. Now, as this is taking place, I lost my train of thought.
Basically, what you were saying was that with these countries throughout the world, where, of course, we were transferring our industries to, that they were supposed to develop their infrastructure. We were sending our factories over there so they can develop their infrastructure. I'm sure they were borrowing money to do it, and those banks suddenly didn't have any money. The banks in those countries were having a great deal of problem.
There were four different bailouts. And needless to say, part of the TARP money, that's there, but what I was thinking of, part of the TARP money actually went to General Motors and Chrysler. So they should never have gotten, well, first off, you can't bail out, well, I guess we bailed out Chrysler some years back, or Reagan did, but that's where the money went. Now, collateral that the banks were then forced to give. So the banks actually did need that money, but they didn't need that money for them. AIG, of course, didn't want any money, was forced to take it. There was a George Soros play going on in the background here, because what they forced the banks to do to get this money, and like I said, the banks actually, had the banks in the third world collapsed, it probably would have started a domino effect that would have collapsed a lot of currencies. So there was a crisis. It just wasn't our crisis. But since all of the central banks of the world are now interlocked through the monetary fund, International Monetary Fund, which is now becoming the central bank of the world. So there would have been a financial catastrophe had that not been done. But what Obama made the banks do was to pledge collateral for this loan, the collateral that he demanded, and the collateral that the government received was preferred stock from these banks. Okay, preferred stock is stock that if something happens, the owner of preferred stock gets paid off first. So the owner of preferred stock never loses their money. This is the stock that was given to the United States government as collateral for the loans. So they turn around and the money they receive, they use that to stabilize the third world. Once the money is distributed, Obama makes a demand on the bank. He exchanges the preferred stock for common stock. Why did he do that? Because common stock is voting stock. And what Obama, through his master, and his master is George Soros, wanted voting control over all of the banks in the United States. Once the banks realized what was coming down, they took the next step. The next step is what collapsed the retirement income funds of every American. They sink their hedge funds on the market. So, and this is the thing that really ticked Obama off, is because you have these large major banks, investment banks, that are selling stock. That same bank has a hedge fund. Let me get some water here.
All right, these large banks have hedge funds. Now, in years past,
they use the hedge funds and their short sellers and they sell the bottom out of the stock that the banks are selling as premium stock to their clients. So the client goes in and buys ABC Company at $75 a share. 2 days later, the hedge fund of that same bank is short selling ABC stock. And how do they do that? They borrow, let's say they borrow 1 million shares of this ABC stock from the same bank that's selling it to their best clients. So they loan them 1 million shares of this stock. And they immediately go in and they short sell it. And they start driving the price of the stock down. Now keep in mind, they borrowed this stock. They don't own it. When they get down at the end of the day, they've driven that stock down to $20 a share. Okay, now keep in mind, they borrowed 1 million shares. Now the stock is $20 a share. It was $75. They buy 2 million shares of this stock. Okay, so it costs them $40 a share. They give back the million shares they borrowed, and they just made a killing because they're selling it short. And you look at the 401ks of every American, most people don't realize that the banks have the, and this is basically what the bankers did in 1929. This is how they collapsed the market. They used short sellers. And once Congress figured out, and it took them a couple years to figure out in 1934, 1935, when the banks finally figured out how the bankers manipulated the stock market crash in 1929. And they did that setting the stage for Roosevelt in 1932. And if you recall, when this story about the oil companies, actually, the tape that you were talking about in your commercial message, was it Masters of What?
Well, I talk about Brotherhood of Darkness.
Brotherhood of Darkness. Okay, that's exactly what we have going on here, and have had since the middle of the 19th century. And we had it when the princes of industry and the barons of banking and the barons of business joined forces. And they joined forces for one purpose, and this was before the 20th century, to create world government. The idea started in the mind of Cecil Rhodes from De Beers Diamonds, but it spread. And then the first thing you know, that you had this, what these guys were trying to do was to create a global trade zone that they owned and controlled. And they're still doing it. And they are right now so close to doing that. And this is why Barack Obama sits in the White House. If you want to destroy a nation, do you pick a patriotic American and put him in the White House?
Nope.
No. You pick someone who has no emotional ties to this country, and you promise him that he's going to be the dictator. And then you can destroy a nation.
And, of course, you're centralizing all power with the federal government, and then you have all the police power and the military power to control the people, and that's what's
yes.
happening.
Yep. So what you look at, with your tapes, we are actually living those tapes. And I've never seen the tapes, but just listening to your description, you were describing what's happening today. Now let's go back to the oil companies for a minute. We could probably do 6 hours of this. And because everything that's going on, regardless of how detached it appears to be from everything else that's going on, they are all interlinked. It's like this thing that once you start to follow the dots t- touched every single element of this. But let's go back to the oil companies. Let's go back to Standard Oil. And let's go back to the year 1905. In fact, let's go back to 1880 when oil was discovered in the Baikal oil fields in Russia. And the benefactor of that oil was the Nobel brothers and Baron Rothschild from London. Rothschild had been doing business with Nicholas I for years, and Nicholas I trusted him immensely. And the Rothschild financed the startup of the Russian Trans-Russian Railroad. He financed a lot of the industrial growth in Russia. And along came one of the Nobel brothers, and I don't remember which one it was, and he was...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. John, go right ahead. You were just talking about, of course, the development.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 630-9796, or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And of course, the people who were already there, the Rothschilds, the others, did not want, of course, to have a Rockefeller competition in Russia. So Rockefeller then set out to undermine the situation. And certainly in 1905, his agents met up with a man named Lenin, Vladimir Lenin. And of course, then they worked out a deal with him, and they formed a new corporation called AIC. And you pick up this story there.
Okay. AIC, if you look at the people who belonged, it was the princes of industry, the barons of banking, and the barons of business. The purpose was to create in Russia the United States of Europe, because they saw in Russia the same type of mineral and industrial strength that existed in the United States. This was going to be the country they owned. And they put up $50 million. The $50 million was given to Lenin to stage his revolution. Lenin had to agree that that all of the assets, the industrial assets of Russia, would be leased or sold to this group of businessmen. Lenin, needless to say, double-crossed them. Lenin managed to take over Russia. They deposed Nicholas II, took him captive. The mandate was that he was not to be harmed. People need to understand that there was no intent by anyone he was basically going to be exiled from Russia. That didn't happen. When Lenin double-crossed AIG, AIG turned around and found a different faction of revolutionaries, and they were called the White Russians. We had the Red Russians, who were the Bolsheviks, and the White Russians, who were not. But they were still people who wanted to create a democratic, parliamentarian democratic country. So what we end up with is a civil war going on in Russia as World War I is going on. Now, the really interesting thing, and a point of history that I would be willing to bet that only 1 or 2% of your listeners know. World War I ends in 1919. Everywhere in the world except Russia. Because just about the time that the war was ending, the American Expeditionary Forces and the British captured the Baku oil fields. And they finally had it. Only when the war ended, the troops were supposed to leave. The British and the American troops that were holding the oil fields didn't. And the war actually continued in Russia until 1924. The Treaty of Versailles was signed in 1920, so the war is officially over. And finally, in 1924, Calvin Coolidge is raising the question of, why is there American troops in Russia? And I'm certain the British government, somebody in the British government, was asking the same question. And at that point, they were forced to leave.
Now, where are those oil fields? Are they up around Murmansk or where?
They're right at the southern tip of the Caspian Sea.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so if you're wondering why there was this hate by the Soviets for the Americans and the British, now you know the reason for it. But what's really interesting is when you stop to think about it, we have an oil dynasty that has the power, after a war ends, to keep American troops fighting in a nation that was supposedly an ally to the United States.
Well, it's the same thing. We have our troops in Iraq today. Tremendous amounts of oil there. We may very well have our troops in Iran very soon. A great deal of oil there.
Yeah.
Could that have anything to do with what's going on? Go right ahead.
There is absolutely no doubt. So what we have is a power that is more immense than the power of the government.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with John Kristen Reiser. John, you're right ahead.
Okay, so we've got a power that is more powerful than the government. This is the government. It's not elected. It is the government of wealth. And this is the reason why a little while ago when I made the statement that as long as we allow this entity to bribe, and political contributions are bribes. Political contributions require a quid pro quo. Look at George W. Bush. When Bush was elected in 2000, the American people loved him. The conservatives loved him. If you look at where the money came from to elect Bush, it was largely from those princes of industry, barons of banking, and barons of business. Primarily, it was Rockefeller money, Standard Oil money, Rockefeller Brothers Foundation money. It was the large foundations of the oil companies and the oil companies themselves. And attached to this was a quid pro quo. And there is always a quid pro quo. In the case of Bill Clinton, what American money he got, because most of the money Clinton got was from China, but the American money that he got, the quid pro quo that he was required to sign was NAFTA. George H.W. Bush could not put NAFTA through because the Republicans wouldn't buy it. Well, I take it back. The Democrats wouldn't buy it. The Republicans were going to go along with it. Okay, Clinton comes in office and it reverses. And Clinton sold the Democrats, which controlled Congress in 1993. And NAFTA was promoted as the job builder for the United States. It's going to bring jobs to the United States like you couldn't believe. Everybody on the Hill knew that NAFTA was a job drain.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, John Kristen Reiter, and he's just talking about how Bill Clinton got the NAFTA bill through in 1993. Everybody knew that what they were saying, oh, NAFTA's going to bring all sorts of jobs. Look at that great, we could sell all those factory-produced goods goods we produce here in Mexico. NAFTA is really going to mean a lot more jobs for American workers. And, of course, it was all a lie. They knew that NAFTA was designed to take jobs from America and transfer them to Mexico, to take factories from America and transfer them to Mexico, because that was the plan, just as the plan has been to take American jobs and transfer them to China, to take away the wealth of the American people. But they certainly no politicians, Bill Clinton or George Bush or Barack Obama, is not going to come out to say, my job is to take away your jobs, to take away your wealth, to impoverish you. No, ladies and gentlemen, what we're doing is for the good of the American people, because we love the American people. Go right ahead.
Okay. There's one, when you're making that statement, you look, Barack Obama's assigned task is to take away those, and he has made it very, very clear. He intends to do that. When he's talking about the redistribution of wealth, he's not talking about taking the money from the middle class and giving it to the poor in the United States. He's talking about shifting the wealth of the United States into the third world. So this is a man with an agenda that's not his. If Barack Obama had his way, he would simply take the wealth from you and I and give it to the underclass. So there is a major shift, and the shift took place from a report done by the World Bank in 1993 and 94. And in 93 and 94, the World Bank reclassified the nature of wealth in the world. They did that because in the industrialized nation, abortion had so destroyed the population and the ability of populations to recover that when the industrialists looked at the cost sales ratios of their factories, they suddenly realized that their factories were producing goods at about 65%. They were paying 100%. In addition to paying 100%, the labor unions had demanded so many different things that even after the employees retired, the cost of that employee continued. And so the industrialists looked at the third world, and they looked at the cost of labor, and they realized if they were going to survive, they needed to find cheaper labor. They were never going to get that in the United States of America as long as labor unions controlled. So when NAFTA was concocted, the labor unions were sold a bill of goods. The bill of goods the labor unions were sold is where the jobs go, you're going to be able to convert those workers into union workers. So you're going to get even more union workers. The labor union said, oh, good deal, let's do that. But what they didn't realize is that in those countries, in Mexico, in China, in any of the Central America, South American countries, where they were going, those countries were not going to give them the labor laws that Roosevelt gave them in the 1930s. So the labor unions are allowed to recruit, but they can't strike, because the minute they go on strike, in comes government and forces the workers go back to work. So they got double-crossed. And this is why the labor unions had some problems with the Democrats in 1994. That's why the Republicans took over Congress in 1994. Labor unions just simply stopped working for the Democrats to teach them a lesson. So when you look at this whole cycle all comes back to the same thing of we've got to be able to stop letting corporations bribe politicians. But anyways, back then again, we just needed more time, because we need to go back and look at the situation in Russia, because what happened in Russia, they financed the Bolshevik Revolution. But they got double-crossed. They tried to take the oil fields, and it was going to become a British protectorate, but that didn't happen either. What we now have is an alliance between our enemies, who now have our factories, and the oil barons and the corporate giants, who are now making the bulk of their money in the third world. And what is happening in the United States is the job drain continues. On top of the job drain, we have a new job drain, and this is opening up the borders and letting in this influx of illegal aliens who work off the clock, you might say, without paying taxes. And half of the money that they make is, or a third of the money, is Western Union back to their families in Mexico. And in the meantime, as they take even more jobs away from the American people, what little jobs are left? The United States of America is, in addition to the crisis we have in the Gulf of Mexico, we have an employment crisis here that is going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
But I think, John, the most important thing is that people don't understand this is not happening by accident.
No.
It is happening by intent.
Yes.
They really want, of course, these people coming in. That's why they don't enforce the other laws, the immigration laws. That's why they're furious with Arizona, because they want to try to force the federal immigration laws. That's why they won't build a fence. That's why they won't go after the employers on a large scale who are hiring the major and large numbers of illegal immigrants. They want to lower the living standards in America until the American people understand that we are intensely sending our wealth overseas, our factories overseas, our jobs overseas, because they want to lower living standards. They're bringing the illegal immigrants. They're actually the Ford Foundation's funding organizations for the illegal immigrants, La Raza, Olulac, Maldive, organizations for illegal immigrants. They're funded with tax-exempt money from the Ford Foundation, all part of the program to drive the living standards down here in America. Of course.
Okay, there's one other thing that George Bush discovered, and that is, if you recall, Bush was all gung-ho about building this fence. And he fought to get the legislation through to build that fence. And then once the money was there to build the fence, all of a sudden, he stopped talking about it. And what did he start talking about? He started talking about amnesty. And everybody got mad at Bush, but very, very few people started asking the question, what caused the change of heart? Why is he doing this? Why is he saying this? And then Bush came out and he said the thing that tied it all together, and nobody was listening. Bush came out and he said, Social Security is broken. We need to fix it. We need to fix it. We need to change the system. And he wanted to change the system by converting Social Security into private accounts, which basically meant the government couldn't get their hands on it. Do you know why he did that? Because Bush discovered, do you remember when Robert Rubin, the financial whiz from Wall Street, solved all of the money problems and converted the deficit into a surplus? Do you remember that?
Under Clinton, yeah. Because remember, he
was... Do you know how he created the surplus?
Well, basically, of course, they weren't actually talking about the fact that all the money we owed Social Security and Medicare.
No.
Go ahead.
Robert Rubin took every penny of what was left of the Social Security Trust Fund and put it in the General Treasury.
Yeah, okay, fine.
And that became,
you're absolutely right. And Medicare, too.
That became Bill Clinton's surplus, yes, and the Medicare money as well. So at that point, there is not one penny left in the Social Security Trust Fund. And Bush got the sad news from, I guess, Henry Paulson or whoever was his Treasury Secretary before that. Okay, so panic had to set in. He realized, now, on top of this, the thing that makes the panic worse is that the baby boomers are now starting to retire. There are 45 million baby boomers who, over a period of 10 years, are going to come out of the job market. With an abortion rate in the United States that puts us at 1.9 population. 1.9. I think it was 1.9 in the United States, 1.7 to 1.5 in Europe. We're not going to, we can't produce enough workers to replace the workers coming out. And right now, there each American, there it, it takes 3.2 workers in the United States to support one retiree. So, me, you, and someone else that's on your staff, and part of somebody else that's walking down the street, are supporting one retiree. And when you do the math, you suddenly realize that within 5 years, it's going to be two people supporting every retiree. And by the time that 45 million retire without replacing them, it's one-on-one. This is a serious problem. Bush recognized it. Okay, how do you suddenly find 25 to 40 million people that can walk into middle-income jobs? In other words, not babies, not children, but working class adults. You have to get the illegal aliens in the country as citizens, where they get Social Security cards and they are forced to pay taxes. That's what all of that's about. Only you can't tell people Social Security is broken and it's going to collapse as soon as that 45th million baby boomer retires. There's going to be no pension because Social Security is not going to exist, nor is the dollar. It's going to collapse. That's the reality that Bush saw. Only Bush didn't have the guts to tell the American people. And the American people turned on Bush. That's why.
Well, I'm sure this is an impossible situation because there's no way we can provide the retirement and the Medicare benefits.
Obama has the solution. We now have Obamacare. We now have a medical board that is going to determine when you get a terminal illness, you are not going to get medical care. Now, when you look at the list that was compiled by this medical board, you discover that the third cause of death that gets no medical coverage is a condition called old age. It is deemed to be a terminal illness, even if you're healthy. This is where the rationing of health care comes in. This is why it was necessary to force Obamacare through. It's not because 30% of the people don't have health care, because half of the people who don't have health care, it's a voluntary thing. They don't want to pay for it. The rest of us pay for it. That's why we have it. The reality is that when you deny medical care to the person on Medicare, you're doing two things. When you deny them health care, one, you're getting them off of Medicare, and you're saving the government money because they're no longer consuming medical dollars. Secondly, when they die, you don't have to pay them Social Security anymore. You kill enough people, and you have solved your Social Security problems, and it's back where it's profitable, and you've solved your health care problems. You don't have any old people that get big medical bills.
But, you know, the average American can't really realize or accept the fact that anything could be that crass, but that's exactly what this is all about. It's purely utilitarian. If we kill the older people off, there won't be a problem.
On my website is an article. The article is entitled, Meet the Death Board. There are 15 members. Now, the interesting thing about the death board, they are not in the health care bill. The death board was created in February. The first piece of legislation, the first stimulus package bill that Obama passed through, a provision in that bill creates, and I can't think of the name, it's a name that doesn't sound like it's even connected with medicine. But when you read it, there are 15 people. The 15 people are named in that legislation. And on my website is the picture of all 15 of them. This is the death board.
Is Zeke Emanuel on there? He's the
head of it.
Right, right. Well, it's, for the listeners who don't know, Zeke Emanuel, of course, believes we should do away with the Hippocratic Oath. The doctors should not think about what's good for their patients. They should think about what's good for society.
Yes. And that, by the way, is Rahm Emanuel's brother.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that. Okay, so the picture of all 15 of these people, and they're all doctors. Some are not practicing. They come from the VA. They come from different government agencies. But these are the death. They determine what illnesses can no longer be treated. Now, the interesting thing about that law, and this was in Hillary Care when she tried to pass it, is when the government denies you coverage, any doctor who provides that medical procedure for you can lose their medical license.
We'll be back in just a moment here with to wrap up tonight's program. Well, John, why don't you go ahead? You know, as I'm a physician, I practiced for many years. I'm so glad I'm out of this, and I'm so glad that I'm...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you so very much for being here today. We are so happy to entertain you for the next 3 hours with the truth. That's right. It's not that basketball and baseball kind of stuff. It's the real truth, and we thank you very much for joining us. You know, I couldn't believe last night on Larry King, it's all about who is he going to play for. I can't even remember his name, but he's a guy who's going to play for one team or another, and it's like the whole world was standing still. Oh, thank you, John. Thank you. A guy named LeBron James. Now, does that name mean anything to you? Does that mean anything to you, LeBron James? He's a basketball player. Thank you very much. But the whole world stood still. Everybody, they showed all these people in bars drinking and just like hanging on, waiting until LeBron made his decision. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, they know nothing about the foreclosures that are taking place, the fraud behind the foreclosures, the fraud behind the systems that are in this country. They have no idea. It's our job to go out and, as missionaries of the Power Hour, we will educate these people one person at a time. Inoculating people with the truth. Now, that's a bad term. No. Loving them into the truth. How would that be? What a world we live in. Well, if you're watching television, it's more about day 81 of the oil thing down there in the Gulf. Yeah, they kind of forgotten about it. What's going on with the Gulf? Well, we're still going after those two reserve wells. Won't be until August till we get there. More suffering taking place. We do have some chatter from down in the Gulf. Not a whole lot being said. I don't feel all that positive about what's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I don't feel all that positive. Have you heard about the Russian spies? We need to cover that. The other shoe fell, well, sort of, I guess, in the Russian spy story. I mean, can it get any more stupider? Yes, it can. It happens almost every day. We watch it as it gets stupider and stupider. And this story is pretty high on the government stupidity index also, I have to tell you. The 11 spies with the one girl who got all the attention because she had red hair and looked good. That was served. They sent that picture of her to all the Navy and the military people to say, see, even a spy can look pretty. Oh, wow. That had to be powerful, powerful disincentive for them to get involved with a woman, I am sure. And we're going to take some of your emails, read them on the air that we haven't had time to do, some of the feedback from some of the programs. And we'll probably take some chatter at the bottom of the hour simply because I want to know what's going on around this country that we can't figure out because we're so blanketed with agenda. So get ready. If you do have some good, incredibly interesting chatter that you can share with us at the bottom of the hour, get ready for that. Had some pretty powerful programs this week, and a lot of emotions from these programs spilling out. A lot of feedback that I'd like to give you some emails. Can't get to all of them, but I'll get you some of them. Also, Remember those 17 Air Force Language Institute, Lackland Air Force Base wannabe foreign pilots that were missing? Well, it's not 17. Isn't this the way the story always goes? I'll tell you about that. And also,